And what's quite nice about the chefs, not so much the gardening people, but the chefs like getting pissed a lot.
Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Phil.
And this is The Underground, the podcast for garden sector professionals. Each week, we discover the trailblazers and innovators who are shaping the future of garden care in the UK. So, without further ado, let's get down and dirty.
Welcome back to another episode of The Underground Podcast. We're doing things a little differently this week. Kate and I were lucky enough to attend the special press preview event at BBC Gardeners World Live at the NEC. We got to look around the show gardens ranging from small-scale, beautiful borders to much larger gardens packed with inspirational ideas. And we were there to see the judges giving out their awards for each of the garden exhibits. We also looked around the huge flower marquee containing a smorgasbord of stunning floral displays, including the International Orchid Show. And lastly, we managed to catch up with various people from the horticultural industry, from journalists to show garden designers, horticulturalists to the new breed of garden influencers. What follows is just a snapshot of our visit, but I hope it gives you a flavour of the event. Now, it must be said that I'm not a gardening expert, and to begin with, I was a bit discombobulated trying to take everything in. This is where co-presenting this podcast with Kate is a real advantage. I'm in awe of Kate's hort knowledge and her ability to talk about gardens in everyday language, and so I was only too pleased to have her as my own personal tour guide. I hope you enjoy it.
Yes. Hello, I'm Kevin Smith. I'm the editor of BBC Gardeners World magazine.
Thank you, Kevin. Lovely to meet you. I just want to know why, what has kind of made Gardeners World set up this big show when you've got Chelsea, you've got Hampton Court. What is different about BBC Gardeners World Live?
Well, this is where Gardeners World Live TV really comes to life. It's bringing the Gardeners World brand to life in person. So visitors really do get to see and meet all of their television presenters. There's lots of opportunity to really interact with the brand and feel like you're part of the big Gardeners World family.
Absolutely. And can I just ask, because we talk a lot about peat free on our podcast, how important is sustainability to Gardeners World Live show?
It's really important. I mean, in fact, it's so important to the whole Gardeners World brand. For us as a magazine, it's laced through everything we do. It's not something that we highlight once in a while. It's laced through our whole ethos. And I know it's exactly the same with the TV programme and the checks and balances that this live event has to go through to make sure we're being as sustainable as we possibly can, and that we, adhering to being, a responsible BBC brand. We really, really do take it seriously.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
No problem.
The rest of the show.
It's a pleasure.
So I'm here with Jane Hinkley and Ace Ellis. Now, Aid, you're talking at the show, aren't you? So, Jane, you're doing some radio interviews.
Yeah, I am.
So, do you want to just tell us quickly what you're doing, Aid?
So, as from tomorrow, I will be on the urban garden stage. It's a first. They've never done this before at Gardeners World Live.
Okay.
And it's fantastic because it's urban gardens, and that's what, we want to get new gardeners in. We want to get the next generation of gardening. Yeah. Not everyone has those massive gardens, do we? A lot of us have courtyards, balconies. So, we want to sort of bring in these people, say, look, there's so many weird and wonderful ways I can grow veg and grow flowers.
Brilliant.
And we've got these amazing speakers coming.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie.
Including yourself.
Well, I'm hosting. I kind of got the easy job. I'm kind of like that guy in the airport, flags in the planes, that kind of.
Yes, yeah.
Speakers we've got are brilliant. I'm not going to lie.
Some names.
I am fanboying, so bear with me. We've got to start with Kim Stoddart.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Just seen her garden, actually.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, really
got
good.
Kim O'Brien, Michael Perry going head-to-head, container wars. So okay. It's going to get intense.
Yeah.
Let's think of this. We've got Adam Kirtland, do you want Pot of Veg? Yeah, he'll be dragging along all his wooden pallets, DIY.
Met him today, actually.
Yeah. Can I mention a few more?
Yeah, no. Please.
He says to think of this. We've got Minaj Made. We've got Francis Tophill on Sunday, and of course the wonderful Jason Williams, aka Cloud Guard.
Cloud Gardener.
So yeah, that's a big lineup.
Oh, that's amazing. I wish I could. It's so exciting because there are so many speakers this year.
I'm lucky because I'm coming back on Saturday. And I think just looking through, I'm just like, I want to see them. I want to see it because it is. When yeah, and it's really exciting to go on stage this year as well.
It's, if, I mean, like today, it's like, for me, quite a gig.
Yeah,
it's, like Christmas, it's like Christmas Eve.
Yes.
You know, and tomorrow, yeah, early night, get my beauty sleep, all that kind of thing. Day tomorrow. No drinking. So, yeah. So I've got to be on my best behavior, but it's just all about getting the speakers on stage and hopefully audience will come. I just really enjoy what they've got to say.
So what is special about Gardeners Wildlife as opposed to, say, Chelsea or Hampton Court? What's the difference?
I think this year, and this is something I've sort of been predicting a little bit, is that we are getting more edibles as ornamentals. Now, I am a fruit and veg girl. You are into your fruit and veg as well.
Three musketeers.
And it's so exciting to actually see that. But also, and I think we saw it last year as well with Lucy Hutchins and Kate Cottrell's garden, the secret homestead. In the fact that they had, obviously, the edibles as ornamentals and the really interesting different planting that you would think, did realise that was edible. And he's coming through. And obviously, Adam Frost this year has got the chef's table.
Cool.
And obviously, lots of edibles in there. I did have a peek that year, so I can see the hostas in there. That's fine.
And recently.
Yeah, have you tried them? They're part of the asparagus family. So absolutely. And actually, if you taste them, I have tasted them.
Right.
Have a little nibble if you can meet the slugs.
Yeah.
And they do taste ever so slightly of asparagus. It's more sort of it tastes like leaves to start off.
Okay.
But it has this slight aftertaste of asparagus. So imagine every part of it is actually edible. So you imagine putting the flour on top of a quiche or something like that. Absolutely stunning.
So it's like the edimentals, isn't it?
Right.
I'll be going home and munching on my hostas now.
Well, you get a bit of extra protein.
And they are stunning. I mean, it's stunning to look at. I mean, I love vegetables because I do think they just look stunning anyway. So I'm so pleased that everybody else has now started to cotton on to what we already knew.
Yeah, we've been doing it banging on for a long time. So it's good to see other people taking the baton, as it were.
Lovely. Well, thank you so much and enjoy the show.
Thank you.
For anyone that doesn't know or isn't aware, just tell me, what is the International Orchid Show? Is it as obvious as it sounds?
It is. It's something that's evolved over many years. It started off at a Peterborough county show, then it moved to Malvern eventually, and now it is here, and probably better than ever. It's an amalgam of sales of orchids, plus what's really special about it is that it's turned into a competition almost for local orchid societies, and they take it very seriously. They're bringing out their best plants, their best design, and that's combined with lots of sales and orchids from around the world. People from Taiwan, from Peru, from Ecuador, all around the world, showing and selling their orchids.
So what brings you here today, Johnny?
So I am here purely to experience Gardeners Wildlife here at the NEC. And I normally come when it's the hustle and bustle
busy.
And everyone is here. So this is a new experience for me being here on the press day. So it's
quite nice. You get a bit of chance to quietly look at the
garden. Very much relaxing. Yeah. And it's lovely seeing all the other Instagrammers as well. It's amazing.
Well, done so well, haven't you? It's amazing.
It's kind of blown up. I started the actual account during COVID because, if I'm being honest with you, I was quite bored during COVID. I've always been into my gardening since I was a very, because I'm half Dutch. So I used to go over to Holland as our family holiday. And I used to see all these gardens, used to see the tulip fields. And I got the bug when I was a kid. So I was out in the garden every day, all day during COVID. And I thought, I want to kind of blog and capture the moment of
other people.
And then I didn't mean for it to blow up the way it has now. I think some people just obviously like me dancing around in my garden sometimes.
Some people have got a knack for doing it and getting other people to love it.
I remember making one of my first reels and I was thinking, oh, there's quite a lot of people viewing this. And I hadn't expected the amount of fantastic people to follow and like my content as well.
So, but also you're young, you're attractive, and that's just so good to get other younger people involved.
And it's one of the things that I really want to do is trying to get young people into gardening. I'm actually doing a presentation to the young people of horticulture. I'm doing that next week. So I'm quite passionate at getting young people into gardening. Absolutely. And I think I want to try and break stereotypes of gardeners.
Please do.
That I'd like to do.
So we had Lee Connolly, Skinny Jean Gardener, on one of our first podcasts, was that Phil? And he's just amazing. I used to work with children's gardening, but he's just taken it to another level.
Amazing.
So if you can get involved in that as well.
Yeah, I mean,
the two of you together be a powerhouse.
Do you know what? I am trying to get more young people into gardening. I think I'm trying to get the stigma of
we need
boring.
Them. Absolutely. It's not just mowing and strimming, is it?
No, exactly. Yeah. I love seeing something I've grown from seed to a plant. It's just
it's
one of the most rewarding things that I could possibly do.
And if you can eat it, that's even better. Oh,
tell me about it. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I must admit, my tomatoes this year are not doing so well.
It's been shit weather, though.
Oh my God, my tomatoes are my tomatoes are terrible this year.
I'd let you into a secret. I used to teach people how to garden.
Yeah.
And I've had to go and buy somebody else's tomato plants because mine all failed.
Mine, honestly, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
No, so you're not. Lots and lots of people are there. Yeah.
Good.
Thank you so much for your time, and enjoy the rest of the afternoon.
So Kate, just tell us a little bit about what you think about this garden.
Well, I love it. It's very much about water conservation. That's its main story. But I'm just going to move away from that because I'm just loving all the planting. It's absolutely beautiful. It's lovely.
So it's really beautiful.
It's beautiful as well as telling
a story.
Yeah, telling a story.
Water.
Yeah.
So using green roofs, which deal with lots of water that falls on them.
Yeah. I love
it. So there's lots of really cool things going on with water. You know, we've got this amazing water feature, but also it doubles up as a rainwater storage tank.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
So, you know, why do our rainwater storage tanks be often they're not that pretty.
They're really ugly.
Why not be, you know, creative?
And create
a beautiful both plunge pool and rainwater harvest.
Ah, so it's used as a plunge pool.
Yeah, it has a platform that goes up and down. So
my goodness.
And it's all built around the themes of the moon, because how moon relates to
the
water.
Moon gate,
you've got a moon gate, you've got different phases of the moon built into the Corten steel.
Oh, super. Thank you.
So
that all makes sense now, and I'll have a good read of this. So just tell me, Sarah, the brief for this year's Gardeners World Live is sharing spaces.
Share space.
And that shared space can be with inviting people in to join you. It could be sharing it by bringing animals in to enjoy your space with you, by inviting wildlife into your garden, or just actually sharing it with yourself. Sometimes it's good to just have that space where you can just sit and relax. But it is about sharing. It should be about sharing. Gardening should be about sharing.
Where did your idea come from?
So literally my idea is I've got a really hectic life. So for me, sharing my space is sharing my space with nature, wildlife, what's around me. So I just wanted something a little bit different to what I've got at home. Don't get me wrong, I love my kids. But sometimes you just want that little space where you can just be nice and quiet and relax and share it with, you know, like the little frog there and the hedgehog and the birds, the rustling of the trees. The Betula pendula were one of the things that I knew straight away I wanted in, because I just thought I really want that rustling of those leaves.
And look, the wind's really helping us.
I feel like the whole garden's quite sensory. The lavender path, so sort of you walk through the lavender path and you've got that nice lavender kind of scent that follows you then as you sit and relax on the bench.
Oh, it's lovely.
Thank you so much. You're very welcome.
We're going to have a little look around, if that's
absolutely
okay.
Go for it. Thank you.
So this garden's really unusual, Kate. I mean, especially when you look at all the other gardens around here, this one actually has a very striking colour scheme, all whites and yellows and greens.
It's very pretty, isn't it? Very, very different from all the others. It would be perfect if you've got a wedding, wouldn't it? Can you imagine this for your wedding? But I love it. It's very subtle, but it's also really, really pretty. And there's a lot of wildlife there. And it just works. It really, really does. It just instantly is calming me down. What I'm finding today, there's some lovely gardens, but there's also some quite harsh colour palettes, I would say. Some almost a bit too bright. Which is very different from
than what you see at Chelsea. Not to say it's any worse or whatever, but I just love this bit of calmness now. And I think people are going to really like this one, you know, during the show when it's opened. Just really, really pretty. Sometimes it's just nice to have a pretty garden, isn't it?
Let's talk about the chef's table, shall we?
Yeah.
Why growing and cooking? How did you come about that?
I think the special bit about this show, the fact that you've got good food and you've got gardening, but I never feel like we actually connect it properly. And the only thing that I would have been other than a garden designer is a chef. So the whole thing's quite self-indulgent. So I've created this chef's garden. I've got all the chefs and the cooks coming over and I get to talk to them all week. So it's really, really lovely. But I think as well, it's just that it was just this idea that I've created this person who's the chef, and then I wanted to create a garden for them, really, but yeah.
It's good. Now, when I was very fortunate, I was able to walk through it, and there were little bits, actually, and I thought, oh, this is quite like Adam's garden at home. And did you take any inspiration from what you're doing at home?
I've actually
all?
Taken half the pots from home.
That might be
that's
why,
the one bit that Mrs. Frost might be a little bit peeved off about when she goes out in the back garden. Yeah, I walked past, the other day, I walked past my hostas, and I'm thinking, yeah, I've been sent some hostas, but they look nothing like my ones. So I loaded all the van up and I've bought loads of stuff up here.
So this looks like quite an interesting garden, Kate. It looks really mature.
It does. It looks like it's been growing here for years, doesn't it? But what my favourite thing about this garden is that you know my love of veg growing, don't you? So this garden is beautiful, but it's also really practical because it is growing so many vegetables, and it just shows you don't just need a kind of an old allotment with bits of carpet and kind of bean poles with your runner beans. We've got so many veg, but we've got these lovely mature apple trees, we've got cherry trees, we've got lupins, we've got sea thistles, salvias. I love the fact that we've got a squash plant, I'm not quite sure which one it is, growing up an obelisk. So a lot of squash plants, people don't know, they will actually climb, especially something like a trombocino, cucumbers. So really good to have them growing up something because it gives you more space. And underneath we've got some celery, some lovely colourful chard, which looks really pretty. And we've actually got some plants, some daylilies next to the chard. See the little yellow buds? What a lot of people don't know, as well as being grown as ornamental plants, they're actually edible. So the flowers and the buds can be eaten. So maybe that's why they're growing them here.
So it's not just for companion plants?
Not just for companion plants, but there is a lot of flowers here which is going to attract the pollinators in, which again is going to help with your vegetables. But I just love it. It's really beautiful. I love this kind of wild, unkempt, grassy meadow area with the apples. Yeah, and it's a relatively small space. So pretty much anybody could have a go at doing something like this. A bit high maintenance. It's not an easy care garden, but I think it's worth it, don't you?
That's right. I was asked to come back and do a show garden quite a lot by Rachel. And then convinced Mrs. Frost that we were allowed to do it. So that was all right. And I wanted to come back here, I suppose, really, as well. If I think back to the beginning, I was involved in the first shows here. With Jeff Hamilton, and that's when you had to build show gardens in 4 days inside that building, which was all slightly weird. the one thing I love about this show is the fact that I can come and I can meet all my gardening friends, but actually I can then catch up with chefs that I've met over the years. And what's quite nice about the chefs, not so much the gardening people, but the chefs like getting pissed a lot.
So I'm in Adam Frost's garden, which is the chef's table, and I was talking about this one earlier, and I just saying how beautifully they've combined gardening with food, and I didn't realize it was designed in conjunction with a chef called Marcus. And this is absolutely stunning. And actually, it's been a really gorgeous afternoon seeing some of these beautiful gardens and hearing about the stories behind them. So it's just lovely and I feel very privileged that I'm allowed to come into these gardens when most people during the week aren't going to be allowed. But yeah, I think people will really enjoy and get some real inspiration of what they can grow in quite a small space.
The award for the best showcase garden goes to Kitty Kovacs.
And last, but by no means least, the best show garden at Gardeners World Live 2024. Roger, who does that go to?
Well, you've just walked away. You've got to come back again, Dan.
So the best show garden.
Dan Hartley.
Well done, Dan. So just form up for this last photo.
So, Kate, we've been around the gardens.
Yep.
We've managed to get away just for a quick catch-up at the end of the day.
Yep.
It's been brilliant coming on press day because, actually, there's not that many people.
I know. I feel a bit cheeky and a little bit privileged because we have been able to get up close and personal to nearly all the gardens and also listen to some of the designers talk about the gardens. And I know most people won't get to do that because by tomorrow it's going to be heaving.
Absolutely. And the passion from the gardeners and all the people who help and support. And I know when we were watching the awards just now, one of the people right at the end was paying tribute to all those people. It's like teams, armies of people who come and help. And I thought that was brilliant.
What a lot of people don't realise is how much work goes into the show gardens and how many people. It's like the unsung heroes. Now, I have built a show garden and I know it's blood, sweat and tears, but it's also actually relying on so many other people to help you build those gardens and to realize those dreams. And I think we got to see that today, and that was lovely.
Yeah, something we've not talked about, and that was the flower marquee.
Oh yes,
which
that's
was
very true.
Absolutely rammed with stalls. There was lilies,
the
and
orchids. Oh my goodness me, those orchids were incredible. And again, how lucky were we to be able to get really close and see them without hundreds and hundreds of people trying to get a close look. On the other hand, which I know some people might be quite pleased about, I can't buy anything today. But
well,
some of those orchids,
but
those orchids were absolutely beautiful. And the scent of orchids, not a lot of people realize that there are scented orchids that you can buy. So that was just beautiful, and I love being in that floral marquee. Takes me back to my days at Hampton Court Flower Show.
Brilliant.
When it's just those lilies, just wow.
So all in all, what was your impression?
Really lovely. I'd like a bit more time, and I must admit, as much as I like getting really close to the gardens, I do kind of miss that atmosphere when you get a buzz of all the people here. But it's really good to see how everyone is looking into wildlife and gardening. I think that has really come across, that how important it is to garden for wildlife and nature. There's been some lovely little hedgehog houses, bee houses. But I think my favourite has been the Lunar Garden, the garden that's about water conservation. I love that. And I've never seen a compost toilet quite so posh.
Fantastic.
How about you, Phil? Your favourite?
Oh, I don't know. There was a cottage garden that we saw right early on.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved that.
That was so
great.
Pretty. Very romantic. Just like you, Phil.
Oh, yes. Romantic at heart. Believe that, Rachel.
Thanks,
All
Phil.
Right. Take care, Kate.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, could I ask a small favour? Please take the time to review the show and share us with your colleagues. It really does make a difference and will help others to find us too. We really do appreciate you listening and want you to get involved. So if you have a topic you'd like us to cover, drop us a line. To keep up to date with the latest happening from the Underground, head over to Facebook and join the discussion in the Underground Podcast Group, or sign up to our email newsletter at theunderground.fm. I'm Kate Turner, the Gardener Guru. I'm a horticulturist, garden consultant, and presenter. To find out more, check out my website at gardenerguru.co.uk.
And I'm Phil Wright, the founding partner of Wright O'Barra, a creative marketing agency specialising in the home and garden sectors. And for anyone bringing a new product to market, we've created a handy 7-step guide to help take your product marketing from zero to hero. Find out more at wrightobarra.com. Thanks for listening.